knows me. I wanted to make sure you're paying attention. Whoops. Still, I'm not going to touch that anymore. Okay, I'm good. Can you hear me now, or did I blow up the mic? Are we good? Excellent. Hey, I know some of you are still heading through the line and getting food. Please feel free to do that. Again, it's family style. But if you could, I would love to grab your attention while you're grabbing food. So maybe we'll quiet down some conversations for just a minute, and we'll just have a little bit of time in the Word while we're grabbing food, while we're eating, while we're fellowshipping. First of all, I want to say thank you for coming tonight. It's such a joy to be able to fellowship with you all and have this time together. And I want to say thank you for the many people who showed up and did all the setup. It was quite an army today. Yeah, thank you for doing that. That's. And we certainly want to thank our caterer, David and Karina, for pulling this off tonight and feeding us this meal. It's a great time to do it. Yes. So if you wouldn't mind, today you probably aren't going to open your Bible and follow along with me, but I just wanted to talk about a few different things as we come together tonight to worship the birth of our Savior, and that's truly why we're here. I mean, I love being with you. Trust me, it's wonderful, but we've really come here because Jesus came here. Jesus came to earth. That's what we're here for. And so last Sunday, and actually the last couple times we've got together, we've been talking about what the perfect gift is. And I bet some of you are still doing some shopping. If you're a man, maybe you started today. I don't know. We talked about that last week too. But as we were talking about the gifts, one of the things we discussed was the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that God gives gifts to us. And they're amazing, and they're powerful, and they're wonderful. And we discussed a bunch of those last week. But then we found in the middle of that conversation that we were in 1 Corinthians 13, all of a sudden Paul says, amongst all these amazing gifts that God could give, better than gifts that we can give, he says, but wait, there's more. There's something more wonderful than these gifts. And there's something more wonderful than the gifts you'll give each other in the next couple days if you haven't already cheated and started early like we do. Paul described this as the more excellent way. So after all the gifts, he says, there's something more excellent, something more foundational, more to build upon than the gifts themselves. And this is where he focused us in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, or 31. And if you were here, you know the more excellent way was a foundation which the gifts would sit upon. It was the foundation of what is called agape love. And there's several different words in the Greek for love, but agape love is love that is given without expecting to receive it in return. It was sacrificial love. It is the initiator love. It initiates love before you know if there will even be a response. And therefore, we rightly called it God-style love, agape love. And when the gifts are given and the foundation is agape love, then the gifts mean so much more. I'm sure you've been to different things throughout the week, and maybe you've even been to a white elephant gift party. The intention and the foundation is probably not agape love. Just saying. It's shock factor, right, to see who's going to fight over which gift and to have a little fun, which is great, and it certainly can be in love. But what we find is that that gift is not the same gift as someone who gives you their grandmother's ring or somebody who packages up something that's been very powerful to them that they've been working on building for you for the last 8 months or something that is foundational like photos and pictures. I mean, as you get older, that's what you really want anyway, right? And so there's these gifts that come with agape love. And if that agape love, that self-sacrificing, self-initiating, not sure if you're going to receive anything back love is the foundation, then the gift is so much more powerful. But we also talked last week that there were certain gifts that were better than other gifts. It was the gifts that you could give away. Do you remember that? He said the gift of tongues was more important or less important than the gifts of prophecy. Why? Because tongues, we're told, is for ourselves. And prophecy is to give away with others. So we found more excellent gifts to give. But I want to talk about a gift that we didn't talk about last week. I want to shift now to the gift that given with agape is probably the most powerful gift that we can ever give, and it's the gift of time. Time is powerful, and it's precious, and it's limited. As a matter of fact, each one of us in this room has no idea how limited that time is. It could be very short from now. It could be very long from now. But every one of us is struggling to fit everything in a 24-hour day, aren't you? I know I am. Every day I'm trying to get more stuff accomplished than it's possible to do. The gift of time, especially when coupled with intention, is probably the most powerful display of agape love that people can give. Like God gave something we can't give. But for you and I, agape love equals time. And so we give time away. You gave time away to come here tonight. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm so glad you had probably 100 other opportunities that you could have gone and attended, but you said, hey, I want to come tonight and worship Jesus. And it was time you invested. Have you ever thought about the fact that when Jesus came into the world, he didn't have to stay here as long as he did to accomplish his mission? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, think about that. He was born. We come today and we're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus came into the earth. But there's another part of that. He also stayed for another 33 years. It wasn't quick, and he could have fulfilled his mission in a day. There had to be an atonement, a perfect sinless sacrifice. If we think about Mary, Mary was given Jesus to carry when she was a young teenager. The Holy Spirit gave a young teenager a task that she accomplished before anybody graduates from high school today. I mean, that was time, but it was a shorter period of time. Think about that. Jesus could have come into the world and given his life much earlier, having to spend far less time in a sin-fallen world, going through the complexities that you and I go through on a daily basis. He could have said, I know what's needed. I know how to accomplish it. I'm going to get it done, and I'm going home. That's how it could have worked. It could have been that quick. There was no reason he had to spend longer here. He chose to give more of himself here. But he could have gone to heaven where they were worshiping him day and night, where everything was perfect, where sin did not reign, where people were not lost, where complexities didn't occur. It was his place because he was the King of Glory before he stepped down as a babe. Think about that. But he stayed more than 3 decades. That's amazing. And where he was free from all the complexities of this world, instead he took on all of the stuff of our world, the mess that we made. And he stayed twice as long as Mary did when she was given Jesus. His ministry took twice as long to start. She was done as a young teen. He stayed into his 30s. He gave the gift of his time to us. That's why we're here celebrating. And in that time, what did he do? The gift of time was left for him to minister to people, to call them to believe in himself, that they could be saved and they could spend eternity with God and have their sins forgiven. He gave himself, and he had all kinds of interactions with people. We read it in our Bible. He walked with people and talked with people and healed people. He fellowshiped with them. He ate with them. He would sit down and join in a meal with people who thought he would never even speak to them. He did a lot of show and tell, which I love throughout the Bible. He would use all these word pictures and examples. He would call Zacchaeus out of the tree. He would speak to a whole host of people with the time that he spent. He would empathize. He would do healing. He would touch so many people. How many of you hug somebody tonight? Right? How many of you are just huggers in general? This half of the room. If you're not a hugger, don't go over there. Nobody raise their hand. Okay? But Jesus touched people, and he touched people that nobody else would touch. He touched leopards and broken people and sinners, and he it was a gift of time. Do you see that? It could have been so short. He could have came. He could have died, said, it's done. I don't have to stay here any longer than I need to stay here. But he gave himself. And all this is possible because in one point in time, he chose to come into the world as a baby in human flesh to spend time on this earth to show us a better way, a more excellent way. Agape love, God-style living, hope for the future, the way we're to proceed. What's interesting to me is how in this season where we're celebrating Jesus' birth, and we already talked about the fact that we give other people presents, when we see that Jesus came into the world as a baby to grow up with us, you know, to die for our sins, there are so many opportunities during the Christmas season and obligations and distractions that it's actually possible to spend less time personally with Jesus at Christmas season than the rest of the year. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can go to this party and that party. Well, this one you need to be, because we're worshiping Jesus. You can go to the singing Christmas tree, and good things. You can go to the nativity movie. You can go to a family meal. You can go to Peacock Lane. You can go watch the Christmas ships. You can do anything and everything. And you can get your schedule so full because you got to go shopping, and you have to make this tea, and and this dessert that the family wants. And I find that actually at Christmas time, sometimes it's the hardest time of the year to actually spend more time with Jesus. Am I alone? And they're good things. They're wonderful things. You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I think there's a lot more of that going on. But we can come through the season where we're actually here to celebrate the birth of Jesus and be so busy, we actually have less time for him than we do the rest of the year. And that's a reality for us. I think we have to pay attention to that. I want to share with you a little piece. It might seem obscure here, but you'll catch the point. It's in Exodus 33, and it's verses 1 through 3. And the Jewish people at this time had blown it. They made a covenant with God. They didn't keep it over and over again. It was real problematic. And so here's the interaction God is now going to have with Moses over this. The Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to you by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it to you. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite, the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst." See, it's been a rough interaction with the people, right? And what he's saying to them is, I'm going to fulfill everything I told you I would fulfill. I'm a promise keeper. I'm going to send you into the land, the promised land. Even though you didn't keep your end of the covenant, I'm still keeping mine. I'm going to drive out your enemies. I'm going to send the angel of the Lord, and he's going to drive out all the enemies so you'll have peace in that land. And I'm going to give you the land still prosperous. It's not like he said, I'm going to bring you into the land, but I'm not giving you any of the benefits that I gave you. He said, no, I'm going to give you the benefits. So I'm giving you the land. I'm moving out your enemies still because I made my end, and I'm giving you all the benefits. But then he says, but here's the deal. I'm not going with you. You didn't want me. I'll keep my end. You go. He said, I'm going to remove my gift of being with you, my time. You didn't want it. You don't get it. So I'm going to pull back now. Whew. Well, you can imagine, here's Moses, and Moses and the guys are like, wait, just a second here. That's not going to work for me. And there were quite a few others, that wasn't going to work for too. I mean, think about this question. Would the promised land, even with all the benefits that God promised, still be what they desired if God wasn't with them? I mean, the same question can actually be asked from us, right? We've talked about it before. If Jesus wasn't in heaven, would you still want to go? It's still the place where you live forever, and you'll never get sick, and you'll never die, and you'll never have any of these problems. You won't have conflicts. Would it still be heaven with all the benefits but without the presence of God? Well, that's what he's telling them here. Now, some people would say yes. Honestly, they would say yes because they haven't had the personal experience with God that you and I have had. They haven't had the personal walk with Jesus. They probably weren't with him prior to this period of time. And so maybe for them, it'd be like, sure, sounds great to me. No sin, no bills, no locksmiths, no hospitals, no police officers, no day or night, no overeating, with just eating. Yeah. But for you and I hope we're a lot more like Moses and the others who are listed there in Exodus 33 who said, no way. I don't want the possession I don't want the prosperity and I don't want the security. If you're not going with us, I won't go. It's about being with you. Isn't that powerful? Oh, hopefully that resonates with everybody's heart in this room tonight. All those other gifts, all those other things are meaningless without the time to be with God. And they understood and longed for him. They got what this message really was. And it's like, no, we are in this with you because we want to spend our lifetime, our eternal lifetime with you. Eternal life with God. It's being with him forever. That's what they were looking for. And they wouldn't exchange it for anything else. I think they would have stayed in the wilderness. They would have stayed in tents. They would have stayed with that cloud. They would have stayed with a pillar. They would have stayed with rock coming out of the water and shoes that didn't wear out and garments and eating manna if they could be with God. Because it was all about being with the living God. That was their focus, and hopefully it's our focus too. We're still longing for the day when we're going to see Jesus face to face and we're physically going to be with him, and it's never going to depart. Again, I mean, we're going to be with him forever, a lifelong period of time with God. And because he took on flesh and came into the world, that's a reality we're awaiting. See, if he had never taken on flesh, if you go back and you start to read in Revelation and you hear in Revelation 4, you hear of the presence of God the Father. But he's a spirit, and you worship him in spirit and in truth. And you hear of the Holy Spirit as he's flames of fire coming out of this glassy sea. But then you see a person in flesh. You see the incarnate God that you and I will be able to touch and relate with. The physicality of God, because he came as a babe in Bethlehem. And he would take on that flesh and he would have it forever. And even now, you and I can be with him. We can say, man, I'm going to set my time apart. I'm going to pull away and I'm just going to be with him. We can lean beside the bed. We can stop the car somewhere because a worship song comes on and we know we want both hands in the air and we shouldn't drive like that. We can stop here in the middle of a dinner, and even while some guy is talking nonstop about Jesus, you can tune me out and start having a conversation with God. And we can be with him personally this way. Because he wants to be with us. And the question that he has is, do you want to be with me also? Do you want my time? Isn't it crazy that he said, I'm always waiting for you. I sit at the gate and I wait. Will you come be with me? Will you give your time to the one who gave you time? So the question would be, what would be the perfect gift from us to Jesus this Christmas and truly every day? And the answer is time. That's what he came for. He came for a personal relationship with you and I. And you know, personal relationships that matter, you know what they have? Time. A trip to Fiji is great. Don't get me wrong. Right? Maybe ladies, you're saying, you know, some diamonds and a little gold? I don't mind that either. But if that's all you ever gave and you didn't give time to go with it, it really doesn't mean all that much. Because it's not on the foundation of agape. And time equals agape. We've talked about the peculiarity of how Jesus, on his birthday, we celebrate by giving each other gifts instead of him. You know, we've talked about that already. And often, you know, we see that we get too busy during Christmas season to actually spend more time with Jesus, and usually it's less. And we know what God really desires is us. I mean, what are you going to build a king? What are you going to give a God who can say, hey, earth, come into existence? I mean, I don't know about you. Do you have any of those really, really rich family members? And they buy everything that they want anyway. And then you have to buy them a Christmas present. And you're like, what do they want? So you send them a rubber duck light that pops on and off, lights up in different phases. I got one of those, by the way. It's my favorite gift. It's awesome. But what I'm saying is, what are you going to give a God, the God, who can speak everything into existence? You want a ham dinner? Ham. Although that's probably not very Jewish, right? Maybe turkey. But he can speak everything. What does he want? What's the one thing you can give him? You. That's what he wants from you and me both. That's what he desires, is for us to be with him. That's why he came in the first place, that we would be with him. So We've come together to worship him for truly being together here in this place. That's what we're doing. I hope that's what we came for. We came to worship him. And that's our desire in this place. And this is what it took place, as we can hear in the account of the Magi. Here in Matthew 2, verse 11, it says, "And when they had come into the house," not the manger, because the Magi didn't come while Jesus was in the manger, it came later. It says, "They saw the young child with Mary and his mother and fell down and they worshiped him." They came to be with Jesus to give him his time, and guess what happened? Worship broke out. Because that's what happens. When you give your time to be with Jesus, guess what? You're going to come to a place of worship. You can't help it. If you can help it, then you have the wrong perspective of who he is. Right? You're going to worship. And we hear it again. You know, the shepherds, they were visited by an angel who spoke, and then a whole host of angels. And that very night, they heard of the Savior of the world. They heard of the whole thing. And as you read the account, the angels didn't tell the shepherds then to go. They didn't say anything about it. They gave the herald of Jesus coming into the earth, that the Savior was born that very night unto the whole world. And that's all they said. But the shepherds said, hey, we got to move. Here's the account, Luke 2, 15 through 17. "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." They gave time. They said, right now, whatever we're doing, whatever's happening, we got to go. We got to go to the baby, to the Savior of the world. Time, right? And it goes on to say, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child." They spent time, and it brought them to worship. I mean, as you go out and you evangelize, or you tell your family, or you read the Christmas story, I was thinking about all the different ways that, you know, we can spend some time even as a family. Jeannie and I just watched that movie that came out, the Nativity movie. It was a musical with dancing and all, and I'm like, oh boy, dancing. But it was amazing, actually. And is everything correct time-wise? No. Is the story right? Yes. God came into the world. And as I was watching that part of Jesus being born again, and Jeannie and I, when we got done with the movie, we talked about it for a while. Guess what happened? We took some time, and it brought us to a place of prayer, and that prayer brought us to worship. And I would encourage you, you know, find the time. Maybe you're just going to go away for a little bit and write a letter to God. Right? You wrote Christmas cards. I got a lot of Christmas cards. Thank you for those, by the way. Have you ever written a letter to Jesus? Just tuck it away. Think. I mean, he'll read over your shoulder. He knows what you're writing, right? And he won't even correct your spelling mistakes. But it's time. And I promise if you engage in those things, what you're going to find is there's nothing else that could possibly come out of that than worship. You're going to worship. In that moment, the only thing they wanted to do was go be with Jesus. And I can confidently say they never regretted the time that they allocated to that encounter, to getting up and leaving everything else and just heading directly to be with him in that place of worship. And I bet that time and that worship fueled every other worship experience from that point forward. You know, sometimes I talk to believers and they say, I'm a little dry in my faith right now. And here's what I've come to understand. Dry in faith equals absence of time. To be built up in the faith means to spend time. And when you and I go and we're with Jesus and we let that turn into a worship encounter, maybe it's tonight for some of you. Maybe tonight will be the first night that you go, I haven't understood any of this until just now. You're telling me God came into the earth as a baby and died for mankind, but he first stayed and walked and talked and healed and shared fellowship, and he says that he would forgive my sins. Well, tonight might be the spark of every other night of worship for you if you receive Jesus tonight. If you say, Jesus, I get it. You came to earth as a man. And the remembrance of this moment right now, and even the other songs that we'll sing tonight, or as you stand up and maybe even somebody at your table prays with you to receive Jesus tonight, might be the greatest spark of worship that all other worship events continue on to. Or maybe tonight as you worship, it will be one of those moments where you just kind of in a room full of people get alone with Jesus. There's a song that said, the lyrics are, it's just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. And I've stood in places where that song's being sung, and I remember the first time I actually ever heard it. And I was in a church full of 1,000 people. And literally at that moment, I was alone with Jesus. And that time became worship that fueled so many other times of worship. And God said, would you give me that time? You'll never regret it. And he desires it. And tonight our hope is that this time of worship will not substitute for the personal experiences that you'll have with your family, together with Jesus worshiping him, or alone by yourself worshiping him. It will simply fuel the rest of the many moments that you will take, and I hope you will take them this Christmas season, to be alone with the Savior of the world who came for us. Amen. I'm going to call the worship team forward again, and you're going to have some little communion cups. You can grab those right now as they're coming up, and I'm going to just pray for us real fast. You'll find those communion cups at your table. Well, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for a chance just to speak about you, to talk about you, to remember you, to commemorate you, but way more than that, because all those are kind of maybe past, and we are right here in this present, in this moment. And we want to worship you. We want to glorify you. We want to thank you for being who you are to us. And Lord, tonight as we jump into communion, we just want to tell you that we really hope that you would receive our prayers and our time as an offering and a gift to you. We love you with all of our heart, Lord. And we are so grateful that you would come into this fallen world that we made a mess out of to be with us and to rescue us. And to come in so vulnerably as a baby, to say, look, the same God who protected me as a child is watching over you with me now. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. You're amazing. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. So as you take the cup, now, if you'll open it, bread side up. If you open it the other side, it gets really messy quick. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, on the night that he purposely set himself up for, the next time that he would give his body, first to be given a body as a baby, but now to go to the cross to die for our sins, he passed the bread around and said to his disciples, this bread is my body which was given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Lord, thank you for coming in a body, knowing that you would sacrifice that body on behalf of us, each and every one of us in this room, that every one of us could be saved if we so choose to come to you. Thank you for being resurrected in bodily form. Thank you for what we talked about tonight, that when we come to Revelation 4, we're going to see you bodily, and you will forever have that body, because one day, as the babe of Bethlehem, you took on flesh to dwell with your creation. Lord, we do remember. It's our joy to remember, and we celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. And now, if you will, take your cup and flip it over and open the other side. And that same night that Jesus was with the disciples, he had the cup, and it was in the Passover meal. You have to understand this. This is a cup in the Passover meal that exists that none of the rabbis know why it exists. It was another cup. I mean, all the other cups had a purpose, and they didn't get it. They really didn't understand. They had this extra cup, if you would. And Jesus took that cup that night, and he said, look, I'm going to tell you the fulfillment of this cup. He didn't say it exactly like this, but they got it. He said, this cup, the one you've been drinking, and you didn't know what it was for, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is the part that saved us, Jesus' blood, that he was foretelling, even prophesying now. And he said, this cup will be a remembrance to you of a new covenant of your salvation because Jesus came. And he said, take and drink in remembrance of me as often as you shall. Let's drink the cup together. Lord, we want to thank you tonight. We want to remember you tonight. And Lord, we want to be with you tonight. We want to be with you and spend this time right now, even though we have family and food and friends and all these other things. We just want to take a few minutes and let all that drift away. All of it slip by for a moment. That we could just be with you, even in a group of people, all of us lifting our voices together and truly worshiping you, not just getting through a song, not trying to sing perfectly in time or in tune, or even worrying if we miss a few of the words. We just want to be face to face with you for a moment. And you say, boldly enter into the throne room of grace. And I pray now, Lord, that you would pour out such a special moment for each and every person here where it could just be you and them here now. And there would be true worship. Because in that time, I know that something incredible happens. I know that the burdens that many might carry, or the frustrations of the way things didn't turn out, or that gift that didn't arrive on time, or that family member who got sick, or all these other things, Lord, they just become so much less powerful when we come into your presence and acknowledge why we're really here. You came for us. You gave your time that we could have a lifetime with you. And we just want to praise you now as we worship. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.